Top Democrats, Bus Surplus Migrants to Red States. By Neil Monroe on October 9, 2023. Democrats are trying to divert their flood of wage-cutting, rent-spiking migrants toward GOP states and cities as their blue state voters rebel against the Democrats' poverty policies. What we need is President Joe Biden's help deciding where these folks are to go, because they can't all go to Chicago and New York and D.C. They need to go in places where there's even more help to offer. Illinois Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker told CBS Face the Nation on October 8. He added, "We, of course, are a welcoming state and have been caring for the people who've arrived. But we can't bear the burden only ourselves. So, we communicated that, to the White House, we want immigrants in the United States, and there are lots of places in the country where there are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that can be of assistance to these folks who have arrived." Pritzker's call to bus migrants, whom he calls folks, to other cities comes as Democrats keep complaining about the Republican governors who bust migrants to northern cities to help showcase Biden's pro-migration policy. Related exclusive: migrants exit bus to Philly courtesy of Texas Governor Greg Abbott. There were the cynical tactics deployed by Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, as despicable as this ploy was, it worked, the New York editorial board complained on October 7. Leaders in many Democratic-run cities, such as New York, Boston, Denver, Colorado, and San Diego, California, are alarmed at the arrival of more poor migrants from the southern border. They are alarmed because Americans are increasingly aware that migration is a pocketbook disaster, because cuts their wages, spikes inflation, drives up rents, shrinks housing, crowds schools, and diverts federal attention and aid away from their children to Biden's illegal migrants. But Biden's administration is determined to import more poor migrants via various border loopholes. Secretary of State Tony Blinken told CBS, "We're working to stem the flow of people to the border, but also make sure that we have more legal pathways for people to come here lawfully, and at the same time, make sure that we have a safe, orderly, and humane migration process." Just to make sure that CBS understood his promise to bring in more migrants, Blinken added, "We're taking all of these steps to make sure that, again, the flow to our border is something that's controllable, and that people find other ways to determine whether they can come to the United States lawfully than coming to the border." The New York Times admitted on October 7 that Americans are turning against the elite-driven migration. Karen Bales said she was walking with a friend in Queens this spring when they stopped to talk with a woman who was holding a baby and crying. The woman had just arrived at a nearby migrant shelter, she explained in Spanish, and her baby would not eat the food there. Ms. Bales bought the woman baby food and diapers. "What tugged at my heartstrings," she said, "was she had a kid with her." Yet Ms. Bales, who teaches special education and yoga in public school, opposes the migrant shelters, and has spoken at rallies against them. She complained of overcrowding at her school, in Jamaica, Queens, which recently took in 132 students, many of whom do not speak English. "People are extremely internally conflicted," said Don Levy, a polling director of the Siena College Research Institute, told the New York Times. In the same CBS show, New York Mayor Eric Adams told CBS that he wants the illegal migrants to get jobs, and for taxpayers outside New York to help the city pay for its poor new residents. "We're getting almost 800 a week. These numbers are not sustainable. And it's not sustainable in Chicago when people are living in police precincts, Los Angeles, Houston, Washington. This is just not right. What is taking place? This is a $5 billion price tag this fiscal year. $12 billion over 3 years," Adams told CBS. "That aid money is coming from somewhere, unfair to everyday taxpayers, New Yorkers. This vast migration is shifting vast wealth from young Americans to older Americans, from wage earners to investors, and from heartland states to the coasts. For example, older investors, CEOs, and landlords are gaining wealth in New York because more than 100,000 arriving migrants push up rents and pull down wages. The investors also gain from the billions in taxpayer spending to support the penniless migrants, because the spending is used for rent, food, retail, and transport. The migrants are also being used to replace the many Americans who have fled the city because of its high costs and poor services. An international migration Ponzi scheme is the only thing that averts a demographic doom loop for cities like New York and San Francisco, Michael Lind wrote in the September 26 article for Compact Magazine. So the replacement migration is being welcomed by New York's elite. There are labor shortages in many U.S. industries, where employers are prepared to offer training and jobs to individuals who are authorized to work in the United States, said an August letter by the Partnership for New York City. The elite group is run by Goldman Sachs, the BlackRock investment firm, the city's real estate companies, and many other companies that profit from the city's inflow of cheap and compliant migrants. This nation has long drawn strength from immigration, and providing asylum is an important expression of America's national values, the pro-migration New York Times editorial board declared on October 7. Meanwhile, the Democrats' pro-migration policy is widening the huge gap between New York's elite and poor, a New York Times report admitted in September. Even in a city notorious for tableaus of luxury living beside crushing poverty, the widening gap is striking. The wealthiest fifth of Manhattanites earned an average household income of $545,549, or more than 53 times as much as the bottom 20%, who earned an average of $10,259, according to 2022 census data, released earlier this month. Social Explorer, a demographic data firm, analyzed the data for The Times. "It's amazingly unequal," said Andrew Beveridge, the president of Social Explorer. "It's a larger gap than in many developing countries, and the widest gulf in the United States since 2006, when the data was first reported." The Bronx and Brooklyn were also among the top 10 counties in the country in terms of income inequality. It is the latest data to underscore the city's lopsided rebound from the pandemic. Across the city, wages are up, but mostly for the affluent. Jobs are returning, but many are in low-paying positions. Unemployment is down, but remains sharply higher for Black and Hispanic New Yorkers. The mixed signals highlight a widening chasm. The city is recovering, but many of its residents are not. "I don't see an ending to this," Adams said in September. "This issue will destroy New York City."